This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that is just not for everybody. And you also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. Today, we're recording from stolen Ohlone land. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21, and if you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way.
Hey, Ash.
Hey, Jessamine.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm hitting this weed. That's why it took me a second.
Yeah, let me put it over here for right now.
Why is that? You don't want me to smoke?
I just want us to smoke when it's like when we're
in the groove.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing well.
Okay.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. I think life is just like more vibrant or something than it ever has been in like every color, like every direction color. And I had this notion recently, I was trying to explain to somebody why I'm so, I don't know, keeping it real all the time or trying to, and like how that can be really intense and or passionate for happy and hard reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I really did. I was feeling so in touch with this concept of, I have no idea how long I'm going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true about all of us, I'd say, but I've just been feeling really in touch with that like there's a certainty of like not having all of this agency, not having all these options in the future. And I have just been really aware of that and wanting to use the time I have in an abundant way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's both amazing and kind of scary sometimes.
Totally.
To be in the midst of. So that's just AKA life.
Yeah, no. I'd say. You mean here in this life. Like you don't know how long
you're gonna
be, how much time you're gonna have. Yeah. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Literally. And I think that there was a part of my life where I just assumed the time was infinite.
That's right.
And then there was this period of like, holy shit, it is not infinite. And now I'm like, okay, well, since it's not infinite, what can I do? Like, how can I run? Like, I want to run the clock out. Mm. Like, let me please like go as hard as I can, as fast as I can, like as much as I can. And there is a piece of pacing where it's like, don't go as fast as you can. Don't burn out all the way. But there is a big chunk that's like, I want to use every day. I want to, and I hate waking up feeling like distress over any part of what's to come in my day. This is something I've noticed recently where like, if I wake up and I'm already dreading something that I have to do during the day, that's not a feeling that I want to have. Like, I would like to be appreciating the time that is happening, even if it means that there are things happening that I don't want to do. But also if there are things happening that I'm dreading and that's the vast majority of my life, then maybe that's the point that I need to be reassessing. Like, is this how I want to be spending my life? Is this how I want to be spending my time? I relate to what you're saying.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Are you feeling like there's a part of you that's strongly represented right now who is the boss or in charge?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I guess I'm not feeling as youthful and vulnerable as I always do, but I don't. And there has been, I mean, up this morning, I've had a number of things happen that have required me being the boss. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely possible that that's coming out right now. And that is different from who I am. I think about this. I've noticed that the person that I seem to be to other people is not who I am at home and in my most private moments. Mm. And I think that because you engage with me so much on all of these different levels, but especially like at home and in private space, then there is like a jarring difference between all these different worlds. So I could see if that's coming out now.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just noticing that you took the weed out of my hand, sort of correct me on when I was going to be allowed to smoke. And then when I said the thing I was feeling about not knowing how long I'm going to live, you sort of corrected like, well, it is important to pace that out and not, you know,
was
go
I
so
correcting?
Hard. You felt that way.
damn, I thought I was agreeing with you, and or what I was doing, what I felt in my spirit was, thank you so much for saying that, because I think that I don't talk to a lot of people about that, just thinking about the brevity of life and why we're here and what to do with the time.
Yeah.
And so I was just adding how I thought about it, which is just the framing, because it is really, you said that it's like depressing or that it's sad, but also exciting. And I was like, that's literally, I fully identify, especially if you're going to like not fear death, which who the fuck, I don't even, but,
if you redefine fear and you redefine death, sure.
Yeah, totally.
No worries. That sounds good.
Like, I think I definitely fear death, or like I fear the moment of impact, but it's helpful to know that that's inevitable. And so it's like not, you're not getting out of that. So, and if an infant can handle it, I think I'll be all right. So like, I'm like just trying to enjoy.
It's a, I think from what I got from you just now, it feels maybe like a confluence of like you're taking the lead or taking charge and my feelings about that too, like coming together. So the way that my perception of things is often shaped by my internal feeling about them much more than like what I'm receiving from you. So I'm glad I asked.
This is a recurring theme for us.
Full time.
This morning especially, but yeah full time.
Totally. It's like, are you trying to belittle me, or am I belittling myself and picking up on any shreds of that you have or whatever? Yeah. Do you not respect me, or do I not respect myself? And then the way you behave makes me behave, and then you behave, and then I behave, and it's a lot of not respecting.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't help that we're both Virgo rising, and so both like
highly
professional
critical
know-it-alls.
Yeah.
It's like we're both trying to teach somebody something.
That's right.
All the time. We end up trying to teach each other all the time.
Boring.
I think that is actually one of the things about Virgo, that Virgo is accused of being boring.
God. Which whatever. Ooh, I'm thumbs downing that so hard.
I did just want to say that today is our last episode of the season. I love that we have come to a place of being able to call a season.
Oh my God. We used to fight about seasons. Do you remember that?
Totally.
You're like anti-season. I'm like, Jessamine.
It's because we're both always trying to break a rule. Like, yeah, I'm always trying to like do something different. Oh, and I'm like, why do we need to have seasons? We'll just put out episodes when it makes sense. But
that Virgo rising queers, I feel like we're out here being like, everything we do is like,
no, it's like we're Virgo rising, so like wanting rules, but then you're an Aries and I'm a Cancer, and we both cannot deal with rules at the same time.
Cardinal
so it's
shit.
Like, oh my, literally real carnal shit. For real.
Sorry. Okay, last episode of the season.
Yes, last episode of the season, and I wanted to ask you, Ash Danger Phoenix, what are you inviting in this week?
Well, I don't say this often because it feels like such a given, but I do like to talk about what a given it is that I'm inviting in gratitude, and that every moment is an opportunity to minimally be grateful for your breath and then to sort of explode out from there for literally everything that's so wonderful and abundant in this life. So I'm inviting in gratitude. I want to invite in gratitude to like every segment of this particular last episode of the season. Or I will be, I should say. And I'm just ready for it. I love when, golly, I've been really thinking a lot about the concept of a higher power recently and like what words I would use to talk about that. But I want to let the universe like open me with gratitude. Any moment, every moment, I can find consciousness there. And I just feel like that's everything. All there is. So, gratitude. How about for you, baby?
That's fucking right. That's, I don't need anything else. It's all gratitude, literally. That is like the font of happiness. And I am only like just now in the last, like, I think 6 months is even to say too long. But like, this year have I been really engaging with gratitude and how it makes space for so much love and joy and presence and happiness and just everything. If you can just say thank you to something for something
and
really mean it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes about this quote in What I Know for Sure, Oprah's book. She talks about how she was crying about something. She doesn't remember what, but she was crying to Maya Angelou. And mm-hmm. Maya said, say thank you. And Oprah was like, what am I saying thank you for? And she's like, say thank you for what you're learning from this. Mm-hmm. And like, that to me is so helpful, to be like, everything you say, thank you, even for the most shitty thing, mm-hmm. you say thank you. I identify with that deeply. And we had said that this week we want to say thank you as much as possible to mm-hmm. everyone who makes this show possible, and to all of the different, to you, whoever you are listening to the show, thank you. And I just appreciate you shouting out gratitude here.
In the book that I'm going to talk, that I'm going to be grateful for and favorite things later, the author talks about thank you, whoever you are by now.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to offer that here too. Thank you for whoever you are by now.
What I'm inviting in this week and what I'm grateful for is clarity of vision. Which I was just reading my pattern this morning, and they were saying that they were reminding me that I have a youthful and playful side mm-hmm. and that I'm meant to show it with the world. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like having that as my vision, like what, why I'm here, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be having fun, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be youthful, playful. Then I'm like, okay, I get it. I can just do that. In all things, no matter what it is I'm doing, I can just do that. So that feels good. And I'm inviting that in. I'm also inviting in fun, mm-hmm. just as a concept, like to just have fun, look for fun, but not, I don't have to like try to make fun happen. I can just like see the fun where it is and enjoy like I'm trying to think of a good example. Though something that has been really helpful for me recently has been spending more time outside, just doing little tasks that need to be done. Mm-hmm. And like those tasks, whatever it is, like taking the laundry in and out of the laundry room, for example, mm-hmm. like that, those things can be fun. Like I can have fun doing the laundry. Like I don't need to make it fun. Mm-hmm. Like, play music or watch a TV show. I can do those things too. But mm-hmm. like the whole thing of doing the laundry can
Hell yeah.
be fun.
That's right.
So, and cleaning the kitchen too is a big one. It's like, it's fun. Like all these things are fun. And especially when things are shitty and hard
yeah.
and it feels like the fun is just not possible. It's nice to see what's happening in those situations mm-hmm. as fun too.
So basically today's episode is about being a Virgo rising.
Yeah, it's salute to Virgo rising, which was what we thought about calling the show at one point. That's We've true. Had so many Virgo things.
Yeah.
To our queen, Beyonce. I think Beyonce is Queen Virgo.
We bow down.
Yeah.
Damn, hell yeah. Come on, fun. Come on, playfulness.
What's your favorite thing this week?
Neither of you are my favorite things.
Okay.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
I have one favorite thing, mm-hmm. which feels like an offering towards this practice of discipline that I never heard of her. No, she's new. Mm-hmm. We just met recently, me and discipline. But this is my favorite thing this week is a book called Undrowned, Black Feminist Lessons from Marine Mammals. And it's my friend and comrade, Alexis Pauline Gums, who wrote it. It's a part of the Emergent Strategy series, which is a Adrienne Marie Brown and Company production. I shouldn't say it like that probably, but I did. And so this book, she sure does. Queen Virgo on the
note. Oh my God, literally Queen Virgo. Totally. Oh my God. Also Aries. Placement, right? Aries rising, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's lucky. Okay. So the thing about this book, and I'm not going to, but like I could literally open to any page in any chapter and just start reading and find some of the most beautiful, informative, helpful, evocative, emotional stories or pieces of information or just like beautifully written poetry. I mean, all of it's so good. It's prose technically, but it's just gorgeous in that way that you're like, thank God I just read that. Mm-hmm. And I've just been reading it over and over. I've been reading some of the things I've read multiple times. I've been sending it to all my friends. The phone now will do this like text scan. Mm. It's just everything. It's this book is so important to me. And I've sent it, I think, to three people so far. And I just think that anybody could read it and find something really miraculous about the world and about themselves in the pages. And so I just wanted to share that. I'm going to hold it up again for the YouTubers. Okay, so the deal is that Alexis is offering us insight into the ways that different marine mammals live or exist, or their history or stories from them. And she's sort of weaving in the beautiful lessons from these beings' lives or their histories, and likening it, I think, in many instances to the ways that we live or could be living, that are sort of in homage to this beauty and this perfection. You know what I'm going to read? I'm going to read the section in the introduction that says, who is this book for? Mm-hmm. It says, this book is for you. Also known as everyone who knows that there is a world where queer Black feminine folks are living their most abundant, expressed, and loving lives, is a world where everyone is free. I imagine that most people will not read the book from front to back, but I still have organized it based on the Black feminist marine mammal principle of flow, just in case. I imagine that folks will work with one meditation at a time as a part of a daily meditation practice. So far, people have shared with me that they have excerpted these meditations during their own keynote lectures, used them as a way to start the day, used them to launch writing prompts of their own, and shared them with friends as love letters and accountability reminders. I wrote this with you in mind. You comrades who go to the Allied Media Conference, who used to read Makeshift and Left Turn and use social media fluently, I wrote this with you in mind. Dreamers that live near the shore and wonder about the whale bones you find, I wrote this with you in mind. Those of you lobbying at United Nations about deep ocean ecology and what it takes to honor it. And you, the ones who can't keep from crying when you read the daily news. And you, the ones who feel cut off from nature. And you, the people who prioritize nature in your lives, and us, the people who are anxious about climate crisis, us, the people who take long social media fasts and want peace, us, you and me, the ones who thought our practice of looking at pictures of marine mammals was completely separate from our economic justice work, this is for all of us. You are on my mind and heart. So that's who the book is for. You can go to akpress.org and find all of Alexis's work. I think for the most part, a lot of it, could be wrong, but a lot of really other amazing stuff. It's $15. There's an ebook. Do everything that you need to find this because it's so good. And that's my favorite thing. Thanks for asking.
God, thanks for telling. And thanks for sharing that book.
I'm so
It
grateful.
Really is so moving. It's so remarkable.
How about you? What's your favorite thing today?
My favorite thing, I have a couple favorite things.
Yes.
And I want to put them in the right order, but I might also just put them in the order that they're on the sheet. Okay. So the first thing is our inflatable hot tub. Hey. And I can't remember if I mentioned it last week. I don't think I did. I wanted an inflatable hot tub for a long time.
Inflatable specifically you've wanted or?
No, I want a hot tub, yeah. But hot tubs are very heavy and they are hard to move around with. Yeah. So it's hard to be mobile and have a hot tub installed, and they cost thousands of dollars. So it feels like the sort of thing that you should be clear on where you're going to be. So it has not been a priority, certainly living in rental houses also.
Right.
But when I found out about the inflatable hot tubs, I was very excited. You had used an inflatable hot tub in the past and not cared for it. And so that definitely flavored how I was feeling about inflatable hot tubs, mm-hmm. that they have temperature control issues and that they're just generally not that great. But read a few more reviews, and then we stayed at that Airbnb that had an inflatable hot tub.
In Guerneville.
Yes, the infamous Guerneville trip.
We've never talked about it like that.
It certainly lives in infamy. But they had an inflatable hot tub. And this past week, I went to Harbin Hot Springs. Right. which is one of my most favorite places in the entire world.
It's one of your favorite things.
It is certainly one of my favorite things. But while at Harbin, I just really was doing a mental comparing the cost of going up to Harbin, what it takes to drive up there, the cost of entry, just all of that, and comparing that to spending a few hundred dollars on. It was, I think, about $500 for the hot tub. It felt like it balanced, considering that it cost me $150 to fill up my gas tank to go to Harbin Hot Springs, which, fuck you to the oil industry in general. Just fuck you 100%. I cannot, whatever. So
these are the parameters that capitalism built.
Yes.
Just so we're clear.
Yes, please. God grant me an electric car, I cannot. Anyway, the point is,
Tessie.
It's a whole issue. This whole problem, nothing is solved by that. Anyway, I don't want to give Elon money. Whatever, it's a whole thing. So okay, I just thought it would balance in the end to get the hot tub, and I literally ordered it that day, I think, It was so easy to set up and has brought so much joy and happiness into my life.
Hell yeah.
And I have enjoyed being in there with you. And look forward to us hosting people in it and just like kicking it in there. So that is one of my
and it's working
things.
Well. So what I remember about my inflatable hot tub experience was that it was outside of Albuquerque in a place called Socorro, which was gorgeous, but it's the desert, so it's 1 degree at night.
Yeah,
totally. It's 100 degrees during the day, and so I was in a hot tub in the desert in the freezing cold at night with a bunch of people, and the top had been off for hours. I mean, it was like a whole, but my thing was like, it's just not as good as a regular hot tub.
Totally.
But here, it gets cold at night, but a lot slower, and so we've had evenings and sunsets in it where the temperature certainly goes down, but it's not like by much. Mm-hmm. And it's been so pleasant because even bathtub temperature feels like fun to be in there with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a fun group activity. So we smoke weed. We definitely have had like a dinner of snacks out there, which is really fun. And there's this beautiful spot in our yard. I mean, first of all, our yard, on the note of being grateful for things, the place that we live is just really abundant and really verdant and really perfect and a lot of spaciousness. And it just feels like such a blessing every day, multiple times a day, I get to walk out there and just be like, what? Wow.
Literally.
Wow. And literally. I'm so grateful. But there was a super random like concrete.
Yeah.
Whatever pad.
Yeah.
That was just perfect. It looks like it was made. It's like a gravel pad. It looks like it was made for a hot tub.
An inflatable hot tub.
And so we took our RV rug and put it under. You did so much more of this setup than I did because I was like hungry and needed to take a nap, and you were just so that was another thing.
American Ninja Warrior it out the house.
Well, yeah, you gotta get it. You gotta get it out there. Yeah. It was super heavy.
We were both so sleepy that day.
So sleepy. That was a moment I don't want to forget though, where I was like really sleepy and you were like, why don't you go take a nap? Usually I would take that as like a rejection, but I was like, you know, I am really sleepy. And I went and took a nap and I came back and you had it all done and I was so proud of you. And you didn't seem like it fucked with you for me to not be there helping.
No.
It was a really great moment for me because I like surrendered to the idea that you know better than me because you're watching me be sleepy. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what if you just went? And I would get frustrated, whatever.
You should have this real toddler nap time, terrible twos nap time vibe that I'm like, it's not, you need a nap. It's also
or a snack sometimes.
Yeah. It's a little kid, but then it's also Kit Keller in, in A League of Their Own when Jimmy Dugan puts her and throws her in the shower. That sometimes it happens that way. It's like, you need to cool down. It just happens.
Man, I'd punch Jimmy Dugan in the fucking wiener, I swear to God.
Do you think Kit was a Leo or a Sagittarius?
Sagittarius.
Yeah, Sagittarius. I think Dottie's an Aries.
That's kind. Yeah, she's a good leader. That's true.
She's a great leader.
I would have Dottie given... who's Madonna's character?
Oh, all the way May.
All the way May.
Mortavino.
Leo.
Totally.
Who's Rosie O'Donnell's character?
Capricorn.
Definitely.
Doris is 100% Capricorn.
That's right.
And Marla Hooch.
Pisces.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah.
Like a lover, dreamy lover.
Totally.
You know, she gets her man in the end.
Yeah. I love that from Marla.
Jimmy Dugan's just a dick.
Jimmy Dugan is the cancer. That's
no, right. All that nostalgia for his.
No, totally.
Career.
Yeah.
That was.
Oh, Jimmy. But also, like, was drunk in a way that just didn't fly. Like, it just fucked him in the end, ultimately. Damn, Jimmy. Why you gotta be such a good representation? Okay, I had a few more favorite things,
not
but maybe I should just leave it at that. What'd you say?
Not A League of Their Own.
God, I love A League of Their Own.
Yeah, it's good.
This could be in A League of Their Own.
Fan show. Stan account.
The whole thing. Okay.
Never know. Spinoff.
Okay, the other, I'm just doing one more of my favorite things, and it is the character Kayla on Hacks. I love Kayla so much. Kayla on Hacks. I don't know if you've watched the ensemble comedy drama show on HBO Max, Hacks, starring Jean Smart. And the two people who play Ava and Marcus, and I cannot remember what their names are, but I fuck with them too. That show is so funny.
Who is Kayla?
It is amazing.
Though?
Kayla is the assistant to Jean Smart's character's agent, who is played by that guy from Broad City, who I also really enjoy. Well, he's so much of why Kayla is amazing. He punts it up. I mean, he sets it up for
absolutely
her.
Incredible.
Yeah, but Kayla.
What's Kayla's? Who's the actor?
Damn, I don't know what her name is. Oh my God. Yeah, fine, please. Oh my God. This actor. So incredible. The comedy, the timing, the thing she's, I wouldn't be surprised if she's making up every single thing that she's saying.
There's definitely improv happening. Like the way that they're responding to each other is just like, I love when really skilled comic actors are like thrown together in a room. Oh my Christ. I mean, just.
Yeah.
People, so Hannah Einbinder, maybe?
Hannah Einbinder, who is the daughter of, an OG Saturday Night Live cast member.
Okay, I wonder which one.
Carl Clemens Hopkins. What's his name?
Carl Clemens Hopkins.
Carl Clemens Hopkins plays Marcus.
Marcus Jean Smart's. She was that, like,
he's
right-hand
her
assistant.
Yeah,
whatever.
He's her COO. Well, he starts with as the COO.
And I remember Kayla. Megan Stalter.
Megan Stalter.
Whoa.
Is that bitch.
Whoa.
She is so funny. She is 100% who you are at work when you're 23 or whatever the
and
fuck.
You're a slutty fat bitch.
And you got the job because
your dad owns the company. And you don't really have to be all that accountable.
No, and you're a slutty bitch.
And you're
she
a slutty
is.
Fat girl.
Ooh, God damn, I love that.
And you're down for it.
Talk about it, man.
Damn, I love that character.
I appreciate
so
the representation.
Funny.
Thank you. She is out here.
Me too.
Doing so accurate, so funny,
so good. And you and the clothes. I feel like you're like, oh, I have that dress.
No, I literally was like, that came from Eloquy. I see, like, they're just, she's a real fat bitch, like,
yeah,
real, and it's just so good. My other favorite character on that show, actually, it's, I don't know if it counts as my favorite character because she's only in a couple scenes, but you remember I told you the character Daisy. When Ava is having, she goes to the meeting with the two British producers.
Yeah.
Oh, One of the producers, I was like, I have seen her before. And she was on the fourth season of Veronica Mars, which Veronica Mars is my favorite thing forever.
I don't know. It's just so funny. I feel like you just sort of like pick a random show and then you're like, that's my shit forever. It could be any show. What is special about Veronica Mars that's like better than other things?
Are you really asking me this right now?
Absolutely.
I'm so sorry that you have to ask that question that you don't just already know why Veronica Mars. It's not just any show.
Kristen
I don't remember
Bell,
how I got into. Okay. Don't minimize what I'm talking about right now. I am obviously in love with Kristen Bell and it grows more over time. In fact, she posted something on Instagram yesterday that I so enjoyed. It was because she's married to Dax Shepard, whatever. You're acting like you don't care, but this is very important information. She's married to Dax Shepard and she posted this reel saying, my husband wants me to love him or something. And it's just Dax Shepard deck cleaning, like at deck, what's that when you do the big power spraying? He's power spraying like everything on their back deck. And she's just playing this music like, I want to sex you up, like the whole thing. And I'm just like, I love Kristen Bell. Also, she started a CBD bath bombs company. I just love it so much. And her products are really good. Happy Dance. Anyway, so on the fourth season of Veronica Mars, this actor who plays Daisy, whose name I've also forgotten, but she's amazing. She was on the fourth season of Veronica Mars, and I thought she was amazing on that. And the fourth season of Veronica Mars is also amazing, and it's on Hulu, and you should go watch it right now. That was a lot of promociones.
Well, you're great at it.
But that's it.
I want to do everything that you just said. Thank you.
I think I could do well on QVC.
QVC needs a revamp. I feel like we have so much cool shit like.
Can you imagine us on QVC? Like,
Yes, I can.
Okay. Y'all are missing out.
Kirby Howell Baptiste?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Kirby Howell Baptiste.
Playing Yes. Daisy. All right. Well,
amazing.
Everybody's hilarious. That show is so funny. I would literally watch it immediately after we finish it, just right away again. It is so funny. I've laughed so hard. I've loved Jean Smart since Homeward Bound, which I think was 1993. So that bitch can do no wrong. And she's, oh my God, you guys.
Jean Smart.
There is an intergenerational makeout scene in this show.
Oh,
that still has me completely twisted up.
It was,
I think that I thought about it when I was masturbating. I really do.
You were thinking about a lot of things.
It was so hot. It was just so hot to me and so unexpected. And I was like, it felt illicit. I've seen it a few times now. It was so short. It was so PG, but it was just, it let the mind wander.
It could have been on Disney Channel.
It could have been on the Disney Channel, but I loved it.
Yeah.
You know,
it was good.
Anyway,
I did enjoy it. And I do enjoy Jean Smart. And I think she has always been amazing. And she is in the prime of her life.
It is amazing to watch.
It is.
The prime. She's so
good. It's like she's just getting started.
Dude, I'm, like, I'm Smart, so proud like of her.
Literally.
What a person to look up to.
Literally. Okay. No, I've always gotten her and Kim Cattrall a little bit confused because they look very similar. But they also, but Kim Cattrall, I think, was actually a good amount younger than, or is a good amount younger than Jean Smart, but
that's
I don't
fact
know.
Fact checkable. Who knows?
Literally, who the fuck knows? Do you want to give the trivia answer from last week?
I would love to.
Yeah. We don't have a trivia question this week because it is our last episode of the season.
We don't want to make y'all wait so long.
Yeah. And we don't want to not care about the question.
Okay. One time so the question from last week was, in The Legend of Billie Jean, a movie from 1985, what was the main character's three-word battle cry? And, you know, if you know, you know. But the answer is, we never do this. Okay. Fair is fair with like an exclamation. Fair is fair.
Is that how the character says it?
Fair is fair. Yeah. Fair is fair. That's what I remember.
Do it again.
That's what you owe, and we're not turning ourselves in till we get it. Fair is fair. We didn't start this. We didn't mean it to happen, but we're not giving up till you pay. Fair is fair.
Yeah! Fair is fair.
Yes.
She's not Southern. I mean, they're Californian, but there's a way that when you say fair is fair over and over again, it starts to sound Southern. Different kind of ways. And then you can just imagine that the cast had to say it like 7 billion times. And I would just get bored of hearing it the same way over and over. I never thought about the production of that film. So the deal, if you don't know, is that it was a pretty influential movie in like a feminist circle kind of way. Mm. And The Legend of Billie Jean. If you like movies from the 80s about people being powerful and liberating themselves and their communities, check out The Legend of Billie Jean. I have no idea where you could find it. I love movies that are impossible to watch. So,
totally.
Although they did finally.
Are you able to easily watch that?
Doubt it. I think they finally did digitize The Incredibly True Adventure of Two Girls in Love. So,
thank God.
Have a little Marie more room
McGinty.
There.
Absolutely. For making that happen.
Say your name. Okay. What's next, my dear?
It's time for the Deary Query.
Yo. I'm so excited about the Deary Query.
I'm very excited about the Deary Query. It is our last one of the season. And if you have a question for us, if you have a query, something on your heart, something, some guts you need to spill, some tea you need to spill, leak. I don't know. I wanted to say something different. But anyway,
if you want to tell
us. If you have a question for
us.
Yeah. If you want to overshare. If you want to tell us some stuff. if you want to overshare to some people who do it professionally, yeah, you can go to DearJessamine.com and there is a question asking box and that we you can access.
Will/won't judge you.
We won't. Well, yeah. If when we judge you, it's just because we're judging ourselves and it's not personal. But
we don't know you.
In that way, yeah, we're not judging you.
That's right.
But it might on the surface like look like we're judging you. But yes, yeah, so you can go to the website or you can message us on Instagram at Dear Jessamine or at Ash Danger Phoenix or at My Name is Jessamine. But go to the website. Okay, cool. You ready?
I am. I'm in a poly dilemma. My partner, I'll call her Jane, has started seeing someone new. I'll call her Anna. And they seem excited and happy together. They started seeing each other in a small town where my partner lived this spring and where Anna lives full time. I was not living there this spring, but I am moving there with Jane for the summer. With this big change approaching, that of all of us being in the same town, Anna told my partner that she doesn't like the idea of a schedule and would feel hurt and sad on nights that Jane spent with me instead of her. So Anna wants them to only spend time together when I'm out of town. I think that this centers my geographic location in their relationship in a really strange way. I'm worried that I'll feel pressure to plan extra travel this summer so that they can have time together. I want to feel like my presence in town is welcomed, not the thing that will make or break their relationship. The dynamic makes me feel uncomfortable, but I can't tell if I'm being too sensitive or if this is a reasonable parameter for Anna and Jane's relationship. My partner feels fine about Anna's request, and because I feel strange about it, it's causing friction. Should I get over myself or keep asking that Anna and Jane find a way to be together that doesn't hinge on where I am in the world?
This is some real shit, and I really, really, really appreciate you writing in with this question. Yes. And being so vulnerable with
yes.
us. But this is some real poly shit.
Real poly
shit. Okay, my first thought is that Anna's tripping. No, okay. My thing is like,
so many thoughts.
Anna has enjoyed not having to deal with the fact that Jane has a partner, you. This is my understanding.
Yeah, so
like, I feel like Anna is like, that's my boo. That's my girlfriend. Whoever this, Jane is my girlfriend.
Who's been living here, unpartnered in my hometown all spring.
Literally, she's coming back in the summer. She's bringing her partner,
and I'm not really Polly.
And I'm not really Polly. Literally, that is what is happening.
Period.
Anna is trying to live her best monogamous life while also in a poly relationship. Yeah.
And our hero is in here writing.
Who is actually poly. Like, okay,
seems to be by having these questions, being like, wow, am I tripping? Or is.
Yeah.
I'm digging that. I'm digging that posture. Go on.
Yeah. No, I feel like our question writer is like, okay, so I want to make sure that my partner, Jane, who is enjoying the time that she spends with Anna, gets to have that time with her. And I don't want for her to resent me because yeah. I'm around and now she doesn't get to see Anna. So what I'll do is make myself scarce and then Jane will get to get what she wants. But I feel like Anna is tripping. Jane is being a nigga. And I feel where Jane is coming from. Jane is like, cool, 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 tight, tight, tight. So we won't have any issues if I only see you when it is when my girlfriend's out of town. I feel like that's fine. We can work that out, but it's not fine. And I feel like Anna and Jane need to have some conversations in their relationship.
This is what I want to say. I think that the first thing that struck me really strongly and clearly as words was when the question asker writes, my partner feels fine about Anna's request. And because I feel strange about it, it's causing friction. Totally. Honey, you having a feeling is not causing friction. Friction is caused. It's very common. It's not a problem, but it's caused by somebody else having a problem with your feeling. So you could be bringing it up in a shitty way and that's causing friction. I'll give you that, you know, but the fact is you bringing up that something feels strange about your partner entering a new relationship and not really thinking of you or thinking about you, it seems what I'm getting out of some of what you're saying. You're not causing friction. You're allowed to have feelings. You having feelings can be very important to your partner. You having feelings can be a moment of your partner being like, whoa, stop the presses, everybody. We need to get together on this. Let's talk about your feelings. That's an option. So it's not for sure causing friction that you have feelings or that you're feeling strangely about it. And I feel like the tone sort of from there, the tone of the whole thing starts to, for me, be colored by this idea that you're poly, your partner met somebody else, they're getting good dick, they're ready to keep it coming. They're also, they understand that y'all are in a partnership. A, why are you going there for the summer? If you don't want to be there for the summer, you don't have to go there for the summer. If you want your partner to keep, if it's a codependent situation, which all of us are in around like, well, she can't afford the apartment that she's getting in that town for the summer. If I'm not there too, and like, I can't afford my apartment where we're from or where we've been living, if I don't go. And so I have to go. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. Y'all can figure out all kinds of relationship dynamics where you do not have to do any kind of special travel so that she can see her boo. Now, I feel like there is a world in which relationships exist, and you and I have been talking about this. There's somebody that you might want to be traveling to see, Jessamine, and I'm really excited about it. And it's not because I'm a better person. It's because we've had really good communication about it. I don't feel threatened by it. It doesn't make me, I know what I need to know that it has nothing to do with replacing me. And that feels like work you and I have done, but also like where you and I are at, Jessamine, and like our situation and like where we're at in our openness and where we're at in our communication. Like it feels like there is room for me to be able to be really not only okay with you traveling extra or potentially even me going to another place or extending my time traveling because we're traveling together. But it feels like a really different posture than what I'm reading around this new relationship that your partner is having. And I don't always feel that way about our communication. But there is a world in which your partner having a new thing is kind of cool or is fun or is interesting or is hot even, and not so much dread, so much pain, so much fear. And so I wonder if the underlying feelings that you're having of discomfort, feeling strangely worried that you'll feel pressure, all these different things sound to me like they have a lot more to do with your partner feels fine about Anna's request. Do you know what I mean? That like your partner seems to be on a different page than you about how this is all coming about. And I think that's really important to get some clarity on, but to remember that there's nothing you have to do. If something's red flag for you, if something's like major, like definitely don't feel good about that, you don't have to. And it could help your relationship tremendously to be candid about that. It could help your relationship by having, you know, allowing your partner, Jane, to realize that she wants something different than what y'all's dynamic is offering her. And it feels shitty in the moment, and it feels way better years later to know that you were done with that when it was done. And so I know I'm always talking about breaking up, but I think it when it's on the table, you can make actual decisions around it instead of fear-based reactions to the fear of it.
Oh, yeah. Like worried that, well, this could cause that instead of just saying like, well, maybe let's start there.
Yeah. Like I'm worried that this could cause that. What are your thoughts? You know what I mean? Like we did that today, this morning, you and me, where I'm like, I don't know how to find gratitude right now for this situation. So I will just say what's in the way of that, which is that I'm worried about this. What you're doing is making me feel like scared. It's making me feel like I'm not important. It's making me feel, and you said the same thing to me, that there are these things I'm doing that make you feel scared and make you feel unimportant. And when we're able to connect on those tips, even if I'm like, no, because I didn't do anything, like we're at least making space for what the feelings are there. And I just worry that you're so excited to make sure that Jane is getting everything that she wants. And Anna doesn't give a fuck about you, clearly, because Anna's mad that you're coming and it better when, you know, Jane was there alone, which I relate to this. Like, I get it when you're in, because you and I have relationships with other people together, and then we have relationships with other people separate. And the relationships that you have that have nothing to do with me can trigger me feeling threatened more easily sometimes. But even the relationships that we have with each other, with other people together, when you're talking to them separate from me, I can be like, oh no, am I not important anymore? Are you leaving me for them? Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just a true thing that comes up, and it's less and less impactful on our day when we're able to communicate effectively about it. And I think that some of the times in partnerships when I haven't been able to communicate effectively about poly stuff, including the ones where I agreed for some reason to be monogamous, even though that's not who I am, leaving shit out about how I feel is the fastest way. First of all, it's wildly disrespectful to me. It becomes wildly disrespectful to my partner. it requires I lie or cheat or steal in all these weird ways that is wildly disrespectful to me and then wildly disrespectful to my partner. And that the only way to really get around that, I think, is to be candid and to learn more all the time about candor and how that can be used well and appropriately and what the parameters are of that, like what's oversharing, like we were joking about. Anyway, I just feel really, I feel for you. I feel like this is such an opportunity to give a fuck about something that matters a great deal, including yourself and how you feel and what you need and how to talk about that. I don't think that your geographic location should matter unless what y'all are doing is some kind of money shit around who can afford what where. But then talk about it like that. Don't talk about it like, you know what I mean? Because those are details. They can be worked out if they're put on the table. But you don't have to be anywhere that doesn't feel good to you. And if your partner would rather be somewhere else than be with you, that's information.
I want to go back to it was an answer. I want to go back to the specific question, which was, should I get over myself or keep asking that Anna and Jane find a way to be together that doesn't hinge on where I am in the world? I feel like it's not up to you what they decide to do.
Yeah.
So asking them to do anything or asking your partner to do anything is going to keep causing friction, because from where I'm standing, it looks like you're trying to control your partner's behavior or trying to control what they want or what they do, which it doesn't seem like that functionally, but like that, it doesn't seem like that on the surface, but like functionally, I think that could be what's causing the tension between you. I feel like Ash is saying, assessing what you want and what you need and where you're coming from, and clearly stating that to your partner, not as self-righteous, like you have to give me this, but like, I just want for you to know where I'm coming from. I want to tell you who I am. I want to be witnessed by you. I want to be seen by you. Coming to your partner like that, I think, can help y'all come together as a team and be addressing this as something that is a part of your teamwork together and why you're in a relationship together. I think that I have a lot of opinions about Anna and the reasons that she wants what she wants, and opinions about Jane and why she wants what she wants, or that whoever, why anybody wants what they want. But I feel like the question of should I get over myself, I don't think you need to get over yourself. I think that you're expressing real concerns, but even in the way that you've just express it to us, you're not expressing how you feel. You're expressing how you think they feel or what they want. And so really figuring out what you need will help you.
Well,
I think
they've said they're uncomfortable. They feel strangely. They don't like the idea. Like they're, you know, really strange way. I mean, I'm worried. They have said what they're, it feels That's very real. Bad. It feels very dreadful. It feels very like, you don't want this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I think needs to be said clearly. Yeah. It's like, I don't want this. I don't want to be in a relationship where I feel like my partner does not want me around.
Yeah.
Because that, or I don't want to be somewhere where I'm not wanted. Because to your point of like, you don't have to go, like there's some piece of that that's in there. It's like, do you feel like you shouldn't be there? And that's why you're trying to make it like it's what they want, but it's really what you want. So like, just coming to terms with all of that.
Yeah. I feel like it's a really poly thing. This sentence, I want to feel like my presence in town is welcomed.
Totally.
Bro, you're poly. Like you think that that's possible. Like you think like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend and her new lover and they're going to want me there. I feel those ways. I'm consistently like, oh, Jessamyn, do you want to come hang out with me and my new lover? And you're like, no,
literally,
I do not.
Yeah, literally.
But I'm in my head of like, oh, okay, this is welcome. Like we're family now. Like everybody loves each other. And it's just not as simple as I want it to be in my brain. But I'm seeing this question and really seeing myself in it. I'm like, I want to feel like my presence with you and your new lover who you traveled to go see, who you don't get to see all the time, like you would want me there somehow. And I get that that's just not the case for a lot of people. I'm learning slowly that not everybody wants all their ice cream in the same bowl all the time. It's not bad. That's not wrong. Because sometimes I don't want my ice cream. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I feel that way too.
My thing is, I love all my food on top of each other, but sometimes it does not work. Sometimes it gets messy as fuck. Sometimes the flavors don't work together. And then you out here with a bowl full of shit you cannot eat.
That's right.
And then it's like, you know, and it's like you could have had everything, but instead you tried to put it all together.
That's right.
So
this year has been a lot of learning that exact lesson for me, but I'm just speaking to the instinct of the pile. It's like the practice of the pile, which is this putting everything together, is much harder and different. It's a different practice than what clearly Jane and Anna have been setting up all spring.
Totally.
And so it's a transition and it's a reasonable request. I think it's totally reasonable to say. And then find parameters around what is feeling welcomed. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you still get to fuck your girlfriend every night? Mm-hmm. She only hangs out with her new boo in the afternoons. Clearly the new boo is not about that. Like, does it mean that like y'all let go of concepts of schedule? I mean, how are you going to do it? Like, how is all that going to get written down and worked out if you can't say what I feel like you're feeling, which is that you don't want this, you know? I think that the offering the clarity is the way forward. But I'm seeing you in this idea that you would be welcomed into their exclusive thing that they've been having and building. And it's the Pollyanna it's like Pollyanna, like this idea that like everything's going to be good, whatever. Like there's this like polyamorous Pollyanna thing that I think I get knocked off, you know, when I realize like the truth is it takes a lot of fucking work. Mm-hmm. Everybody's bringing all their trauma and all their shit. And every time they've ever been left for somebody else, and they're either like positioning themselves in order to not have that experience happen again, or they're being completely oblivious and doing all the same things they were already doing. And it's going to happen again. And they're gonna be like, why don't I ever learn? I mean, we're all bringing so much. And so compassion and empathy as a starter, but for yourself, you know, I'm reading this and you don't want this. Please be compassionate to that and like work with what you have, including communicating with your partner about your fears and what's happening and the ways that you need them to receive you, you know, because you and I have been working on telling each other like, hey, I just need you to receive me this way. And if nothing else, I can get back to baseline and then we can be doing whatever. But like right now, I just need something regulating, you know? Anyway, I feel for you. I want you to be welcomed there too. I want that to be an option.
Yeah. I feel like it's really important to talk to your partner about all these feelings. And it seems like you have been, but like, I don't, maybe taking a step back and seeing if you really have been, or if you've been talking at them or trying to convince them of something.
Right.
But like, it, if y'all are close to a place where like they would want for you to be with them in this place, and like, also not, they're not close with Anna to a place where they're like, okay, well, maybe you should be gone for this. Maybe you shouldn't be here for the summer because I would like to spend this time with Anna. If those things are not the case, like, I feel like there's a lot that they will want to be present to in your experience. Yeah. And like, just to know where you're coming from and what makes you feel good. Cause you should not go someplace that you don't feel good. And like, it's just not worth it. I think wouldn't be worth it.
I think spirit. To your point too, though, about control, I'm thinking about that a little bit more. Like, see if there are any places before you talk to your partner, if there are any places in you that feel like, no, this is the right way to do it. I need her to know that this is the right way. Like, this is what's right. This is what would be kind, or this is what would be a partnership, or this is what's mature or whatever. If you have any of that going on, just like, I would just accept that it's just not ideal to go into a circumstance knowing what's right.
Yeah.
It's much more likely you're not going to get what you need out of that conversation, as opposed to like everybody has their way. Mm-hmm. Everybody's bringing their shit. Everybody is working on a different piece of understanding communication and expressing themselves. Like, we can do this. We just have to keep an open heart. And that's why I feel like every option has to be on the table so that you can tell the truth. Y'all can tell the truth to each other about what you actually want. Mm-hmm. And I am sending strength.
The thing about polyamory is that everybody thinks it's about sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's like never about sex.
Not never, but
it's more often than not about, it's usually not about sex.
Right.
Then everybody thinks it's about being in a million relationships. it's not. I feel like there's only so many relationships you can be in effectively and not be disrespecting yourself and other people.
/ we're all in 38 relationships. Do you have a sibling? Have you met your mother?
Right, exactly. So that like you're in so many relationships. It's not really about the number of relationships. Certainly not with people that you're having romantic or sexual right. connections with. But what it ultimately is always about is communication. It's always about honesty, radical honesty. Yeah. And this is an example of one of those times where like, it is, I think, putting the pedal to the metal on whether or not you're really trying to be in this relationship and like whether or not you're really trying to learn from another human being, not get them to do what you want for them to do right. or for you to be happy. Like it's not the point of my understanding of the point of being in a relationship is not to be happy. It's to work together with someone else
and
to
learn
be
a lot.
In tandem with someone else.
I feel like learning is
right.
something I would have.
But learning isn't always fun and it doesn't always feel good. And it doesn't mean that it does mean compersion. And I feel like this person is trying to practice compersion. And that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But I also think that one of the people that you need to be practicing compersion for is yourself. And like in this situation, it doesn't serve you to be making decisions around what other people are doing. It's got to be what you want to do.
Yeah. Thanks for adding that.
Do you want to move on to the Astro Thought of the Week?
Yeah, I do. I don't have an Astro Thought.
Oh, you're good.
For this week.
Well, Kylie put some stuff in here for the thing, but something that I was going to comment on is that Mercury is about to be out of retrograde at the end of this week on June 3rd, but it's happening conjunct with the star Algol. And Algol is apparently like it's thought of as a demon star in many different traditions. And so when Mercury stations direct, Mercury being the planet of communication, that we've been having like backwards communication through the retrograde and now it's in Taurus. So it's like, bullish, stalwart,
stubborn,
stubborn. But when it stations direct and it's conjunct with Algol, Algol's messages are harder messages for us to receive. And so, or are challenging. And so that is something that stands out to me. This isn't actually happening right now. It's something that's going to happen later this week. And by the time this recording comes out, it will have happened weeks ago. On June 3rd, though, I believe is the date. But it's just an interesting time for communication in general. The other thing that happened yesterday is that the new moon is in Gemini, which is kind of exciting. Gemini is so playful and is like very curious and communicative and like everything, you know, bubbly and flirtatious even. And it's a new moon. So it's like we can plant the seeds at the new moon. And so there's a lot of opportunity there for us. In this instance, I'm thinking me to do something different. Can I ask you another question?
Please.
What are you doing this summer while we're off the mic?
Oh man, I don't know.
Yeah.
Totally. We're going to your manager's wedding, which I'm really excited about.
Yes.
In upstate New York.
Yes.
And I did say to a friend of mine that I had sent a picture of the invitation and I was like, the weight of this wedding invitation makes me feel like I'm going to have to spend a lot of money getting dressed for it, which I feel like I don't go to a lot of weddings. Like I don't have a lot of like straight friends or, you know what I mean? Like
marrying type friends.
End up. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be straight on some level. Anyway,
like, literally,
I feel like I've been to a few and I saw, I was watching on the note of compersion. I was watching this woman I used to date. She was married and she showed me her, like actively, and she showed me her wedding video. I sobbed. I sobbed. I'm just like such a sucker for that shit. But anyway, so we're gonna go to a wedding. I'm gonna cry and be dressed very fancy. And but I don't know. I mean, I am gonna go to a silent meditation retreat that I'm so excited about with my teacher. And I'm gonna do some documenting of her there. dream. I mean, get out. That's my dream. Gosh, it's been so long since I've been to a silent meditation retreat. I feel like I'm just going to love both aspects of that. I love having a job and a purpose. I don't know what else. Love on my girl. I know that for sure. I plan on having a lot of sex this summer. What about you? Later summer.
I would definitely like to have a lot of sex this summer. I would like to practice having sex. I would like for it to be a practice.
Hell yeah. Come on now. Yeah,
and getting into the rhythms of what that is like. I would like to go to Esalen Institute this summer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to just do more training, more, more learning.
Hell yeah.
I'd like to read some books. We are going to upstate New York. I'm going to New Mexico tomorrow, actually. I'm glad we're talking about it. Yeah, it's literally tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Bon voyage.
No, literally. And I'm going to Atlanta at one point. And I'm going to Tennessee at another point. It's amazing. Like toward the end of the summer.
Can't wait to learn so much more.
I know. I can't. I'm sure either. You too, yeah. Yeah. And then I think maybe some other places after that. So there'll be a good amount of travel that is work-related, but I'm hopeful that there will also be some time in Vermont. I'm hoping that we can like steal away to Vermont for just like a few days at Vermont nice Freedom.
Romantic weekend with my babe.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like some time. Yeah. It'd be nice to be there.
In their hot tub.
Yes. The plan is to spend plenty of time in the hot tub. Plan to explore the hot springs that I looked up that place that our friend that we were hanging out with yesterday told us about. That other hot spring that I think we should go to.
I'm so excited.
It's like an hour past Harlem.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm planning to, or I would like to have fun this summer.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Now, I'm like, okay, so you asked me so cold. I had no planning.
Totally.
I'm going to make a bunch of podcasts. I feel like I'm just keep building Tenderfire Media network of shows and tells. I'm just going to, I feel like this earth is so abundant. And I feel like this summer is just pure opening. Literally everything that feels like pleasure and an offering to the world or my community. That's what I'm going to do this summer. Thanks for asking.
Yeah,
it's an intention setting for sure.
We hope that you have a great summer, that y'all have a great summer, that you are having a great summer, that you enjoy yourself. We'll be back in the fall, or like fall adjacent. It'll be like fall-ish. We'll be back later. And in the meantime, hit us up here on, or hit us up on social media, because we'll be there more than likely. Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, DearJessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show, and while you're there, write us a review. They really help the show a lot, and it gives you a place to let folks know how great you feel about this show and that you love it. Now, for the last time this season, our team, we really want to say thank you to Kylie C. Roberts, who is our editor and producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams, thank you so much for doing our social media. Montez Mickles, thank you for being the director of production and holding shit down and making systems that we can follow. Thank you, Janie Leopard, for drawing our cover art. And thank you, Fruit Snack, for playing our theme song.
Fruit Snack Forever.
Fruit Snack Forever. Thank you to Anna Rooney for being my Jessamine's chief of staff. And thank you to Amber Richardson for being Ash's chief of staff and keeping Tenderfire Media away from the timeout table. I want to say thank you to Ash Danger Phoenix, who co-hosts and produces this show. And my name is Jessamine Stanley, and I co-host and produce this show too.
I feel like you'd be like Snoop Dogg and be like, I want to thank me for getting me through everything and believing in myself.
Yeah,
the
that's
whole time.
Right. Actually, yeah. No, that's, I don't know. I do thank me, but mainly I know I would be nowhere without everybody else. So thank you, everybody. My name is Jessamine Stanley. We are grateful for the work that is done by We Go High, and we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop page.
See you.